Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
You're very welcome along to the Friday betting show on all of our social media channels here on Off the Ball. It is fifth round weekend in the FA Cup as we reach the last 16 of the competition. Biggest game is on Monday. That is a repeat of last year's final, the holders Chelsea going up against Manchester United. We've got some interesting other games in the Cup this weekend, no more so maybe than Newport County, the giant killers so far, having already knocked out Middlesbrough and Leicester. They take on the Premier League champions Man City tomorrow. We also have an interesting enough London derby coming up between AFC Wimbledon and Millwall. And everything kicks off tonight with the meeting of QPR and Watford. To preview the games this weekend, we're joined by Off the Ball's Ronan Mullen and also by Boyle Sports' Leon Blanche. Good afternoon to you, gentlemen.
Afternoon, Will. How are you?
We're going to be taking a look forward to them. We'll take a look at some of the hurling for this weekend as well. Don't forget, if you take part, we've got three €50 vouchers to give away for everyone who comments. So it's worth your while getting involved over the next 30 minutes, sending your tips for the weekend or maybe some of your questions for our panel as we look forward to those games. Always remember as well to gamble responsibly and only ever bet what you can afford. If you're gambling sensibly and in need of help or advice, see dunluie.net. OK, let's take a look forward then to this weekend's games. I think undoubtedly, lads, the biggest game of the weekend is actually the one we're waiting for, which is on Monday at 7:30.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the timing is so far away, but it's definitely the most mouth-watering tie, and two teams who have changed a lot since the draw was made, both seemingly need a win to sort of kickstart their seasons again. And I was at the United-PSG game on Tuesday, and it did feel a little bit like the air came out of the balloon. Like, to suggest it was a new manager bounce is probably a bit harsh on Solskjaer, because it was a significant sustained period of success. But my main caveat for him would have been the fact that his in-game management wasn't really up to par or wasn't showcased in any meaningful way. Because against Leicester, you might remember, in the second half they were quite under the cosh. He never changed the tactics. There was a goal coming. They managed to hang on. Tottenham in particular, they were really hanging on. De Gea bailed them out on that occasion. He didn't switch it up. And the other night, you could really see the goal was coming and he didn't switch it up.
Was it particularly after Martial and Lingard pick up the knocks as well that kind of plan A disappeared and there was no plan B then?
Yeah, because once those two went off, the pace was totally out of the team. And we talk about the strength of the Man United squad. It kind of varies people's opinion on this. When they're going well, it's like United have a pretty decent squad. And when they're losing, it's... the strength and depth isn't there. But you really saw once his two frontline men went off, there weren't like-for-like replacements off the bench. And it's going to be interesting. His squad type's going to be tested now with a difficult run of fixtures, and Chelsea's the first one of those.
Leon, first time United have had to bounce back under Solskjaer. It's been a prolonged honeymoon period, really, since he took over from December. Is this the type of fixture, though, that focuses the mind quickly going away from home to Chelsea in the FA Cup?
I think it does. And I think, you know, look, PSG, even minus Cavani and minus Neymar, they're still a quality side. And they are way ahead of Manchester United in terms of the strength and depth that they possess. But I'd agree in terms of what Ronan said. I think Solskjaer at the minute, tactically, you would put question marks up there. Yes, it was a high press with Martial and with Lingard, but once you change those two players and bring on players that aren't able to run as fast or as able to press as quickly, you've got to change your tactics. But not a better team to play than Chelsea after getting hammered 6-0. Like, what's going on at that club? Nobody seems to have a clue who's running it, how they're running it. Will Sarri be there this time or even at the start of next season? I'd have huge doubts about that. Even will he last until the end of the season? I think if Man United beat Chelsea, they got a morale-boosting win in the Europa League 2-1, but it was far from perfect. So I think if you're Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and you're Man United, 13-5 looks a big price for the Red Devils to travel to Stamford Bridge on Monday night. But it will test their squad. And with a couple of those players missing who do offer pace, it'll be interesting to see how he sets Man United up. I think they are perfectly set up for a counter-attacking team, but they must have all the pace on show.
Ronan, Manchester had a very poor record at Stamford Bridge as well. Is that a factor going into this one?
Yeah, I think it's 20 years since they last won an FA Cup game, and Solskjaer would have been playing that day, so it just shows you how long it's been. United do have a really poor record. Even when Chelsea, before the Abramovich era kick-started, it seems to be a bogey ground for them. I don't know what the dynamic is there, but even Ferguson struggled up there. So I don't know if it's going to be a huge issue. The circumstances are so different in that Chelsea are at such a low ebb, and even the most poor United team earlier in the season should have got a result, or should have got a win even. They got a point in the end. Mm-hmm. But they had Chelsea on the ropes, and that was United very much a low ebb. So they should have enough to do it. I suspect a draw is probably the most likely result in that game, because it's a one where both managers would be going out not to lose rather than going out to win. So in the long term, I think that's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah, we won't have replays in this round either, so we have extra time. It has to be decided on the night. You think there's probably going to be goals in this, Leon? The enhanced offer for this week is for early goals.
Early, look, I think it might be. I just think, like, looking at Chelsea, they just cannot defend. They really are abysmal at even trying to defend. And I think even United, as Ronan said, look, it's 2-1 to 3-1 that a goal inside the first 15 minutes. I think it will happen. I think this game on Monday night, I think both sides, I disagree with Ronan a little bit in terms of, I think Sarri will try not to lose it, but I think with Solskjaer, he'll try and win it. Mm. The last thing he wants is extra time ahead of Liverpool the following Sunday. And I just think, like, this is the only realistic chance. Even before they got beat by PSG, we all said the FA Cup is something Solskjaer would love to win as a Man United manager. Their third favourite set around about 9-2 to win the FA Cup. If they get through this, there's not that many big sides left.
You've already got a few quid on them to win it.
I backed them at 9-1 to win it. So I'm not going to desert them just yet. But I do feel they can beat Chelsea. I really do. I just worry about Chelsea. I worry about the players just switching off for numerous different managers. They just decide that they don't want to play for the manager, and they do it. They just down tools. So for me, United to win it, but I think there'll be plenty of goals, yeah.
Ronan, we've talked about United's potential team selection here, and they obviously have to make decisions now that their wing's a bit depleted. Mm. Chelsea have to make a decision maybe around their midfield as well. It seems a hill that Sarri's willing to die on is that Jorginho will play in that furthest back position as a playmaker, and Kante will play as box to box. Is there at any point you think Sarri's going to change his mind and put Kante back into his preferred position?
It's a difficult one, because I remember Gary Neville making the point actually about Unai Emery at Arsenal, where if your ethos is such a way, like, to just change it to get results, there's no long-term thinking there. Whereas if Jorginho is the hill to die on, as you said, and that's in the long term where Sarri sees Chelsea playing, just changing it to get results isn't going to affect the team in any meaningful way. But to get a result on Monday, Kante in his best position, where he's excelled against Manchester United in years gone by and scored, even, like, getting box to box from that central position. It's a tough one for Sarri. Like, his job is very much on the line here, and the fans' pressure is mounting on him. Like, Callum Hudson-Odoi has played every minute for Chelsea in the FA Cup, and I think even in league games and in Europe, getting him more involved might get him back in, or might get Sarri back in the good graces of the Chelsea fans. You know, throw them a bone, like, I'm going to try and develop some youth players from our academy that previous managers haven't done. Give some sort of glimpse that there's hope for Chelsea in the long term, because at the moment it feels like Sarri's going to be one and done at Chelsea one season.
Liam, what do you think, Gonzalo Higuain possibly starting here? Does he give extra firepower to them?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, he played in that awful defeat to Bournemouth, played in the victory at home against Huddersfield, played against Man City. I suppose if you bring him in now, Will, you've probably got to play him. Mm. But, I mean, I think both teams are well capable of scoring here. There should be a reaction from Chelsea, some sort of a reaction. There was a little bit of one last night, but it wasn't even the first choice 11. So, look, I think both teams definitely will score, but I think United, I just feel with Solskjaer, he'll have more. More of his emphasis will be on winning the game, whereas I think Sarri will be trying not to lose it. And I think that just might suit Man United.
Ronan, do you reckon Lukaku, the FA Cup specialist, comes in, or is Rashford going to stay up front?
If everyone was fit and Martial and Lingard had completed the game, I think that front three would have changed entirely. But he's so limited in terms of resources now, he's going to have to juggle it a little bit. Will Lukaku probably have to play against Liverpool now? So the FA Cup, while it's a nice trinket in one sense these days, it's not going to make or break Solskjaer's reign as Man United manager. Like, it's more pressing to get a good result against Liverpool, secure the top four. So I think if it comes down to an either-or situation for Lukaku, I think he might save him for next Sunday. Lukaku against his old team, though, will have a point to prove. And, you know, he does offer something on the break. We saw it against Arsenal in the previous round, where he was playing from that wide right position. And, if anything, he's more dangerous from there, because he's accused of being static when he plays centrally, but at least when he's out wide.
More involved if he's out there, yeah.
And even if he's not scoring, he's affecting the game which he wasn't doing under Mourinho and hasn't yet really done under Solskjaer.
OK, hold your predictions because they're going to be part of your bets of the weekend. Just for anyone who is looking forward to the game coming up on Monday, here's a bit of a reminder of what happened at Wembley last year when Chelsea played United.
Hazard is a well-practiced penalty taker, but not one with a 100% record. A short approach, almost halfway through the first half, and Hazard rolls it past De Gea, and Chelsea lead Manchester United at Wembley in the 2018 FA Cup final.
There we go. Well, there they are, picking up the trophy. That's Chelsea after their 1-0 win. We'll take a look then at how the bets went for last week in terms of us trying to give a guide towards a few winning bets this weekend. And last week was pretty poor, all in all. It was a one hit from four in the end. Philip Egan getting the success. He went for a treble of Manchester United, Man City and Liverpool to win at 3-1. So Phil Egan there, bringing it up compared to everyone else. And that wasn't a bad old selection there, Leon. I know he's going obviously for top six teams across the board. But
yeah, he did. But I suppose, I mean, we spoke about it last Friday, the one that we were a little bit unsure of was City against Chelsea. You know, maybe Chelsea because they had beaten them already in the Premier League at Stamford Bridge.
-5, but
yeah, so look, and United and Liverpool, I think, were kind of comfortable against Fulham and against Bournemouth, respectively. So, yeah, fair play to Phil. He kept the flag flying because the rest of us were terrible.
Yeah, explain your bet here, Leon. You were going for Brighton against Burnley and you decided it was going to be a draw.
Yeah, I actually didn't see too many goals happening in this. I was proved wrong and way off the mark. But yeah, I thought Brighton-Burnley would be a low-scoring, dull affair and maybe both of them would settle for a point, but I couldn't have been further wrong.
Interesting to see how Brighton get on this weekend as well because they've got a very winnable home fixture. It worries me somewhat that Kevin Kilbane has his fingerprints all over my bet this week because he's on a bit of a losing streak at the moment. He was going for Manchester United to win by two or more and Southampton to win. 4-1 was his pick. And unfortunately for Kev, that one came up short.
Southampton let him down.
Yeah.
United, it was a strange game with United too, because I think inside the first 5 minutes, Fulham could have taken the lead, once, not even twice. But in the end, it was quite comfortable for United. But yes, Southampton let Kev down.
And Steve-O went for Gonzalo Higuain to score at any time. Probably not helped by Chelsea's performance, in fairness to Higuain last
week. And to be fair to him, I don't think he had any type of service during the whole game. They were just awful, weren't they? As soon as they went 1-0 down, it just looked as if they just threw in the towel. There was no reaction from them whatsoever. So you'd have to, I'd question Chelsea and question the whole morale within the club.
And well, Higuain, is he the best guy for a fight? Do you know, when things are going well, he's probably a little bit of a flat track bully, but when he needs to knuckle down, I'm not sure he's the perfect number nine for that. And you saw it last week. And at a time, he was basically pleading with Mike Dean to blow the final whistle, you know, put us out of our misery. It's not the kind of attitude you really want at the top level, is it?
I'd imagine if Chelsea were to go well, whatever about this weekend, Chelsea need goals between now and the end of the season. That's been their problem, hasn't it?
Yeah. No, yeah. It's a fair point. And Hazard, while I think Kev and Kenny both put him in their team of the year last week, like, he hasn't really done it. And he's admitted in the media that his eyes are elsewhere. You know, this is probably his last season at Chelsea. And they're not quite a one-man team, but they are very dependent on him for that spark. And if he's not producing, who is? So goals are going to be a big issue for them, and Higuain's the man to deliver them. If things are rosy, hopefully the spring sunshine might kickstart his spell.
We've got seven other FA Cup games this weekend. We kick things off tonight with QPR against Watford. I'm guessing, lad, one eye on the selection that Watford actually pick. But QPR have been struggling in the Championship. I think an away win is very possible here, Leon.
Yeah, I'd agree, Will. Look, obviously, any time you have a bet in the FA Cup, wait until you see exactly what the team selection is. It's vitally important. But I just feel with Watford at the moment, it's an opportunity to get into the last eight. And look, they're very, very secure in the Premier League. They're going along quite nicely. QPR, they need to really rectify their league form quickly. So I wouldn't be surprised if Steve McLaren makes a few changes as well. And the current 5-6 on offer about Watford could look a big price, but definitely wait until you see the lineups. I think if Watford go with a fairly strong team, I'd fancy them. I think away from home, it won't bother them. They do have goals in their side. And I just think Watford here will look at the possibility of getting to a last eight. And then, you're only two games away from Wembley. So why not have a go at it? And look, Watford, clubs like Wolves, they should be looking at the FA Cup as if they get a chance to get into the last eight or even the last four. Go for it. Anything is possible in the FA Cup. And when you're Wolves or you're Watford, you've no survival in the Premier League to worry about. So treat the FA Cup like it should be treated. It's a big cup competition. And players, when they're retired, will definitely want to look back and say, well, I won an FA Cup. And we know it's possible. There's been some serious shocks in the FA Cup, even in finals, down throughout the years. So never be afraid of one team. But I like Watford. I think 5-6, they could beat QPR.
What do you think, Ron? I mean, Liverpool gone, Spurs are gone. One of Chelsea United are going to be gone by 9 o'clock on Monday. Realistically, this is probably a good time to have a pop at the FA Cup if you're a stable Premier League team and you know you're not going to be fighting a relegation battle.
No, it's a good point. And Watford are the fourth highest ranked team in the competition at the moment, given the big names that have fallen already. And like as you say, at the start of, in the third round when you come in, the FA Cup can seem like a bit of a hindrance because games are coming thick and fast. And it's probably the last thing you want is to have to, you know, take your team to the, you know, bounds of beyond. But I think once Wembley's on the horizon and once you get to the last eight, you're one win away from a Wembley semi-final. And that is, for a team like Watford, they've only been to one major final ever. You know, the allure of that has to count for something. And when you're secure in the Premier League, top half finishes there, you know, just go all out for it. And you see that a lot where teams play weak in sides, but as the competition progresses, even the very top teams will start playing their first choice 11 once the Wembley arch comes onto the horizon, you know.
You're expecting Watford to win tonight, then?
I would say they'll breeze through that one. Just as for the point that you've made that QPR have their attentions very much elsewhere, and Watford are the team that will need the win tonight, I'd say.
All right, Romance of the Cup coming up tomorrow as well. Pádraig Amond has pretty much become a friend of Off the Ball in recent weeks because of his cup heroics. Wonderful goal in the last round against Middlesbrough as Newport County knocked him out. They beat Leicester in the round before that when the Carlow man scored from the penalty spot as well. This is what Pádraig Amond has had to say this week about taking on Man City tomorrow in the fifth round.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's a great opportunity for all of us. You know, from the manager to put his wits against probably the best manager in the world at the moment, and who has been for the last number of years, and then for us as players, you know, to put ourselves up against some of the best players in the world as well, and the most expensive players in the world, and the gulf between the two clubs, I think between everything, is massive. But you know, on Saturday, you know, we're hoping we can show enough heart that'll try to get us through the game, and you know, show a performance that we can be proud of, like we have been so far in this year in the FA Cup.
Now the romantic will say it's a two horse race. Newport County could do it. It's the worst pitch the Man City are used to playing on. But we saw with Man City, particularly in their run to the EFL Cup final run, and that Guardiola's not the kind of guy who's going to play a weakened team. He's going to go out to try and win tomorrow.
But you mentioned the pitch there, and it might be dismissed as a non-factor, but like in the era of giant killings like decades past where pitches were actually terrible.
Legitimately fields.
Yeah, and the away dressing room had no air conditioning or heating or anything like that. I think this is one of the few grounds, Rodney Parade, where you still have that sort of vibe where City would be walking onto that pitch to warm up and thinking, Jesus, I'm not sure I fancy this. So, like, you'd still fancy City, obviously, heavily, but this is a proper FA Cup tie. You know, this is really turning back the clock. And I think Newport will give it a good rattle. They definitely won't die wondering. So I'm looking forward to that game now.
Yeah, and I'm glad they're at home because it just adds to the cup. You know, look, I know they would have made a lot of money if they had have went away to the Etihad in terms of getting the gate receipts and TV and all that type of stuff. But this will feel like their FA Cup final. You know, everyone who has any connection with Newport will be just living for this game. They'll be living for 5:30 tomorrow night. The players, the fans, the management, the tea ladies, the man who goes out and sweeps this. You know, it's going to be a huge occasion. They will get beaten unless there's one of the biggest. I think they're 28-1 Newport.
I think the best is always 25-1 anywhere. Yeah. So the bookies have obviously decided, hey, we got to go with the mind here.
But look, you know what? I mean, it's a chance for a couple of lads who play for Newport to have the game of their lives against one of the best teams in world football. You know, like in club football, and it's a big opportunity for them to put themselves up against international superstars. You know, so look, it's the FA Cup. This is what it's all about. But you'd fully expect City to do it at the first time of asking.
Ronan, even if City rotate, you're talking about Mahrez, Gabriel Jesus coming in, those kind of guys. It's not really going to weaken them massively anyway, is it?
No, and we're coming into that stage of the season, final furlong, where every player wants to stake a claim to be in the team for the games that matter. So even though it is against Newport, if you do shine, you know you're going to be in Guardiola's reckoning for the so-called bigger games as they come down the track. So these games are getting more and more important for Man City. The quadruple talk always seems to come up around this time of year, where when City always seems to be there or thereabouts, and it's that kind of recipe of being spread very thin and mined elsewhere that can cause a cup upset. It's just the nature of the opposition which suggests City will have no trouble, you know.
Okay. I presume with all sports at the moment, Leon, Man City are favourites to win this competition.
They are. They're 6-5 favourites to win the FA Cup. I mean, they're favourites to win every competition that they're in. And as Ronan said, I mean, talk of the quadruple starts to build a little bit of momentum. Now, you'd imagine that they should get through the last 16 in the Champions League against Schalke. They're playing Chelsea, obviously, Sunday week in the League Cup final. They'll fancy that. And they should be into the last 8 of the FA Cup, and they're neck and neck with Liverpool up the top of the Premier League. So, and with the squad they possess, they do have options in nearly every other part of the field bar Fernandinho. If something was to happen to him in relation to Man City, it would be catastrophic. He's the only player I feel that they don't have a replacement for.
Yeah.
And we saw that when he was out of the side. So as long as they keep him fit, he won't be playing tomorrow night. But I think City, yeah, they could go very close on all four fronts without a shadow of a doubt.
We'll reveal your bets then for this week, lads. Leon, you've gone with a very straight one this week. Manchester United to win at Chelsea.
Yeah, look, I have. I just felt like watching that game against Man City, I just thought they were dreadful. Look, they've drifted out a little bit, Man U. Surprisingly, they're now 13-5, so they've gone a little bit bigger than 5-2. Chelsea are 11-10, the draw is 5-2. But I just think United, with Solskjaer, he wants to win something badly, and I think he'll want this more than what the Chelsea players will want it. I think with Chelsea, they're probably looking at themselves thinking, you know what, if we can win the Europa League, we'll save our season. Mm-hmm. We'll be in the Champions League anyway. I fear for them in terms of finishing fourth in the Premier League. They won't win the Carling Cup, or whatever it's called now, the Carabao Cup. And I just feel with Chelsea, all their eggs will be piled into the Europa League, because I don't believe the players have the belief in themselves to win this competition as long as Man City are in it. I don't think they have the belief to win the League Cup, and I don't think they have the stomach for the fight to really get down and get dirty and finish fourth in the Premier League. So for me, yeah, I'm going with United.
Ronan, you reckon this game's going to extra time on Monday?
Yeah.
You can draw after 90 minutes?
Yeah, just as I said earlier, this confluence of things where both teams are quite edgy, I think they might clam up a little bit and it might just tick over to a point where it could be a draw after 90 minutes and could be decided in extra time or on penalties. So that, I think that's the possibly the safest bet this time on that game.
So you're killing that goal inside 15 minutes bet then?
Yeah.
Well, you never know. It might be an early goal. And then
yeah,
it
could
be
1-0.
Yeah, could be 1-0. Could be 1-0.
Right, OK, my head's on the block then for this one. I've gone for an away treble is my idea here. Crystal Palace to win their game away to Doncaster. Despite the fact Doncaster are in pretty decent form, I think they're unbeaten since late November, but I think Palace will win after knocking Spurs out in the last round. Watford to win tonight at QPR, which we talked about already. And then the London Derby tomorrow. Millwall in a good run in the competition, and they go to AFC Wimbledon. So they're going against opposition from lower down. But you'd expect, I think, Millwall to come through in that one. So that's my 5-1 bet.
Yeah, and I think even with Palace as well, Will, it's probably similar to Palace. You know, Palace, they've had a couple of decent results. I don't think Palace are going to get relegated. Like Roy Hodgson, even with those type of players that he has there, this is a big opportunity for them. Mm. You know, I mean, to go a long way in the FA Cup and be remembered for winning something, you know? And a lot of players, with all due respect to Wolves, to Palace, they're not going to win much in their careers. So why not have a real go at the FA Cup? Another game, I think, that could go either way, talking about Wolves, and I just think with Bristol, Bristol City at home, they've got the second best defensive record in the Championship. They've been on one hell of a run. Wolves will
they're
be
great in the last round either against Shrewsbury. They kind of struggled through.
No, I mean, they were 2-0 down, weren't they, against Shrewsbury? So, look, this is just a tricky game. Bristol are very good at home. They're extremely good at home. And I just thought it just under 4-1. I nearly went with a big double, United and them. But I just think for anyone out there maybe looking at the early kickoff on Sunday, I think Bristol are going to cause Wolves plenty of problems.
That's one of Kevin Kilbane's bets for this weekend as well. He's actually having a bit of a punt on Bristol against Wolves. He thinks both teams are going to score, which isn't a bad idea, I think, in that one. And he's also going, like me, for Crystal Palace to win away to Doncaster. So when you put the two of them together, 3-1 is Kevin's bet for this week. He's not been on the best of runs. He's due one at this stage. And Kevin Kilbane going for that at 3-1. So it's Crystal Palace to win. Bristol and Wolves both to score. The other fixtures this weekend, then, we've spoken about them all, but just if you're following for this weekend, QPR against Watford is tonight. Tomorrow you've got Brighton against Derby, AFC Wimbledon against Millwall. The evening kickoff is Newport against Man City. Sunday's games, Bristol City against Wolves, Doncaster at home to Crystal Palace, and Swansea against Brentford. I would imagine, Leon, that's a very difficult one to call as well, Swansea and Brentford. I think in the betting, they're hard to actually separate.
Yeah, they're very hard to separate. I mean, I suppose it's which team turns up on the day, isn't it, really? It's a tricky one to call. I certainly wouldn't be getting involved in Swansea against Brentford. I'm going to do a little double. I'm going to go with Bristol City and I'm going to go with Man U.
Right.
Just think of the odds. It'll be a very, very pleasant victory should both of them win.
Away from the FA Cup then, hurling this weekend, there's a lot of decent fixtures across Division 1A and Division 1B. I was on the hurling show yesterday. We were talking about this one between Galway and Dublin because Matty Kenny goes back to his home county. I think this one's intriguing because Dublin are odds against obviously going across to Galway. But Galway have made a slow start. They struggled against Laois, only won by 9 points in the end. Were held by Carlow last time out away from home as well. Are you giving Dublin a sniff on Sunday?
I'd hope, but I just think there has to be a reaction from Galway after that performance against Carlow. Look, fair play to Carlow, great result for them. But I just think with Dublin, it's still taking a little bit of time for them, and they're missing a lot of players as well. So I think Galway are going to win it at home, expecting a reaction. That result against Carlow was ridiculous.
Mm.
Absolutely ridiculous. But I think Galway will bounce back. I'm looking forward to seeing Kilkenny against Limerick. I think that'll be an intriguing game. I tipped up Kilkenny the last time away from home. Who were they playing? Was it Clare? I think Clare beat them by a point.
Clare beat them last night, yeah.
Yeah, and I just felt with Kilkenny, they've played well. They'll want to put it up to Limerick. Limerick are 8-11, but Kilkenny at home are 6-4. That would kind of whet my appetite a little bit. And then Cork against Clare.
Porky Rinn, if you remember as well, not in Porky Cueve.
Yeah, not in Porky Cueve, but I just wonder what is going on with Cork at the moment. They're 6-4 to beat Clare. Clare 8-11 and the draw is 8-1. Again, home, Cork are not at home per se, but I think Clare might be able to see off Cork.
Interesting one. And a repeat of the last two Munster finals there as well, Clare having started well. And I get the feeling with that one as well, if Cork were to lose, it's probably going to knock them out of contention for the quarterfinals as well. So it's a big, big game.
It's
for
a massive game, yeah.
Okay, really looking forward to them this weekend. Best of luck if you're having a few bets across the FA Cup as well. There are tips for this week, and we'll speak to you next Friday afternoon at around 12:15.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.